From Isaiah 66, we're meditating today on verses 10 through 14. You can follow along in the first lesson if you like. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm, and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, our dear Redeemer, the Messiah, foretold by the prophets like Isaiah. Dear family of God, in the spring of 1987, right over in Vadnais Heights, I was going up to one of those quad homes and a woman shouted at me across the parking lot, okay, what are you selling? I'm not selling it, I'm giving it away. What do you got, money? No, it's better than that. When I talked to her that day and then came back a few days later, she actually invited a neighbor couple to sit with her and her husband while we talked about these wonderful blessings that we have from God's Word. It's better than money. So what's the problem? Why didn't they ever come? What is the problem that people tend to realize, okay, everybody's got challenges in their lives, but most people will just ignore their problems and kind of hope they go away. And some people figure, I got enough problems already, I don't need the problems in the church too. A few years ago, quite a few actually, we needed a building permit for the garage. So we're at a city council meeting and the neighbors are just really concerned that some garage that we might build could lower their property values because, you know, what's that going to do to the neighborhood? Seriously. So we all listened, and they, of course, gave us the permit afterwards, but I talked with the neighbors in little groups afterwards, and I just said to them with a smile on my face, you know, if you join our church, that'd be great because then our problems would be your problems. Not your greatest evangelism line. What do they need more problems for, right? I got enough of my own. But the real question is, what are you going to do in the end? What are you going to do when the biggest problem comes up in your face and it's God Almighty and you've got to stand before Him? You're going to go through your whole life denying that He is who He is, an awesome fire? Old Testament, New Testament say the same thing. He says every sin has to be punished. You're just going to ignore all that? Many paths to God, you can go there whatever way you want. Oh, really? Show me that in real life. You got to go east, so you go west, you're going to show me how that works out. Maybe you could get all the way around the globe if you survive, but we're going to heaven. It's God's plan. He wants everyone finally home to heaven. And for God, that's the bottom line, to get us home. Home with Him. When we're in this life, we're just on the porch. That's all this is. It's just the porch into the mansion. When we're into those mansions of heaven, who's going to be thinking about the porch anymore? So are you worried? Worried about the church? Worried about the church in your heart? in your own faith, worried about the church in your home, maybe somebody doesn't listen to God's word. Worried about the church in general because it's a nasty world out there and the church is pretty nasty sometimes. I have told many unchurched people, if all I knew about the church is what you read about in the papers, I wouldn't join either. I got lots of stuff to do. Other places to spend my money. I don't need that. But there's something here, as you know, that's so awesome and precious that you see what God has in mind when He lets us ask this question today, are you worried about the church? But then He comes back with this priceless comfort that sustains us. But He does it in fairly graphic terms, wouldn't you say? You heard the text read before? I can't help thinking of a mission pastor years ago who loved to tell us this story about when he was preaching to a Hmong congregation. He was trying to learn the Hmong language better. And like so many Asian languages, you've got tones. You've got, you know, 4 tones in the Mandarin and 8 tones in the Cantonese. I don't know what the Hmong have, but you can say the same syllables and the same sound, but if you say it high or low, it means a totally different thing. So he said he was preaching to a Hmong congregation, and he was trying to tell his sisters in Christ that they were all beautiful women. And somehow, because he used the wrong tone, he told them all that they had beautiful breasts. Yes. And we cringe. We forget that we are in a very sanitized Christian society here where we are so aggravated by the way the culture around us misuses the woman's body that we don't remember that in many cultures to this day, and not so long ago, there was no infant formula. And if a woman did not have breast milk, her babies died. And we ought not, in our attempts to insulate ourselves from this godless world that we live in, forget the great Creator and the awesome wonder that He created in the woman's body, because He wants to use that as a picture here of God's love for us. God the Creator tells us that this is how He holds us close and cherishes us, especially at those times when we feel lost and alone. The fact of the matter is that all of us learn how to love and how to care and how to have emotional attachments very much based on our mother's gentleness, kindness, and warmth. Children who grow up with addictive mothers or disengaged mothers who are always, you know, thinking about something else besides their kids, they never actually learn how to have close emotional attachments. You can get this from God. You can overcome it by the power of the Holy Spirit. But these are the pictures He uses. And oh, did God's people need to hear it at that time? You and I cannot fathom what God's people were going through at the time of Isaiah. You know, we have disappointments. You might be disappointed if you fail a test or you lose a job. Or maybe one of your biggest challenges is that you had some vacation planned and then family crisis means you got to change your plans. You know you should, but it's frustrating. Oh, do we have problems? Not one of us has ever had to leave our house at gunpoint. As far as I know, maybe some of you in other places have had that experience, but most of us in America, sheltered as we are, in the security that we enjoyed, we've never had to leave our home at gunpoint. None of us have ever had to step over the bodies of relatives who were killed by Assyrian swords and spears, those cruel Assyrians that had attacked the people of God in that little strip of land we call Israel. By the time of Isaiah, this wicked, boasting Assyrian king named Sennacherib and the kings before him had overrun the whole northern part of Israel, so the 10 northern tribes were deported. And down in little Judah and Benjamin to the south with the capital city of Jerusalem, all the fortified cities had fallen. Try to imagine some invader capturing all of northern Minnesota. And they get Minneapolis too. And you can't just say good riddance. That isn't fair. All that's left is little St. Paul. Very vulnerable, St. Paul in the suburbs. That's about what little Jerusalem was suffering from at the time. There are the Assyrians. There's wicked King Sennacherib bragging about how he's going to wipe out the rest of them. And here's King Hezekiah, the king in Jerusalem, telling the people to listen to God's word and trust the Lord. The archaeologists have dug down to the strata of those years, about 6th or 7th century BC before Christ. And you can see in the ash layer how the whole land was devastated. Hand-to-mouth harvests had been ruined for years. Their stores of food were practically gone. And here is King Hezekiah, who already paid tribute to Sennacherib, now being attacked again by Sennacherib anyway. And he's telling the people, we got to dam up the water. We don't want the Assyrian kings to come and find plenty of water. We're going to divert it. They dug this tunnel that is still Hezekiah's tunnel, a major engineering feat. Trust in the Lord, he said. How could he possibly convince people in that circumstance to trust in the Lord? Right here. You come to Jerusalem, it's like coming to the church. You come to the Lord's house and he takes you into his arms and cradles you close to his heart like a mother with her child at her breast. When you drink deeply of word and sacrament, you are like a child delighted at the overflowing abundance of his mother and the nourishment that you receive. And it happens again and again when we come to the Lord's house. If you understand what the Lord is saying here, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice greatly with her. All you who mourn over her. God is saying there are things to mourn about. We're not happy about our sins. We come in sorrow and guilt. He says, bring it to me. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And it's not the rest of staying in bed on Sunday morning. I will give you rest, Jesus says. I will give you rest for your soul. Deep down inside your heart of hearts, I will make you at peace like a baby in the arms of his mother. That's one of the pictures I remember from one of our little babies. This one in particular just sticks in my mind because after she was fed and she was so satisfied, she would lie in her mother's arms and they would just look at each other. The bond there between the mother and the baby, just look at each other. This is how the Lord wants us to relax in the arms of his love and just look at him. He's good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. No matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, he says, come. Come and find rest for your soul. You will find me merciful and gracious, welcoming with open arms all who come to me. God comforts and sustains us, he says, for you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breast. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. This is what the Lord says. I will extend peace to her like a river and the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. I love that line. Peace like a river. So what's that like? I would suggest you maybe just do this sometime. Find a river nearby. Go sit on the banks and close your eyes for a few minutes. Go ahead, close them. I'll let you do that. Close them. Okay, so you're just sitting there by the river and you're just listening to the, maybe it makes some sounds and you hear the birds and grasshoppers, and maybe you should swat that bee that's buzzing at your ear right now. Now open your eyes. Please open your eyes. These pews are so comfortable now, I got to watch out. Look at the water. Hey kids, it's still flowing. You close your eyes again, wait a few minutes and open them, I bet you it's still flowing. Try it 100 times if you've got the time. Go away for a few weeks and come back. This river is not like the river in Phoenix that used to make my kids laugh. Any of you know about the Agua Fria River out by Sun City? Most of the time you look at that, it's pretty dry. I guess in 2010 there was a lot of rains during the summertime and the Agua Fria River was flowing, but rest of the time it's just as a dry riverbed. Kind of reminds me of what they have in Israel today, the wadis. A wadi is a riverbed that dries up. This is not like God's river. The river of His peace is so awesome that every time you open your Bible, God will have something for you. Every time you come to God's house, doesn't matter what's going on in your life at that time, He will either comfort you and clarify something that just happened in your life, or He's getting you ready for tomorrow's challenge, filling up the batteries, so that when the day of evil comes, you can stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Because you've been drinking deeply from this water of life and word and sacrament. And it's not just that you have to come and drink. He says, I will extend peace to her like a river. Now think about that. That means that you may be living in a desert in darkness and you don't know what to do or where to go. He's going to make the river flow to you. Get it? So we got a neighbor who's not in church and we go out to find her and she says, what do you got? Money? Oh no, it's better than that. Just come and drink. But God has brought that river of peace to that soul too. And He does that over and over again. He wants to do that through you. If you break the third commandment and you despise preaching and teaching of God's word, it's bad enough that the third commandment is right before the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, and the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, and the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery, and the seventh commandment, you shall not steal. All those really bad sins that people think about and they ignore that third commandment. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And that's that Hebrew word shamar I've told you about many times. It means to guard the Sabbath. And you maybe need to start guarding it on Saturday. Because if your Saturday robs you of Sunday morning, you're not guarding the Sabbath. Believe me, I've told you this many times. My bed feels really good on Sunday morning too. I'd love to just sleep longer. It's true. But we have to guard the Sabbath against our own sinful nature, because if we don't come and drink, we starve. And God has such blessings to give us, such love to share, peace like a river. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. That's her, the church, the Jerusalem. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. You will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to His servants, but His fury will be shown to His foes. And it may really bother you, and well it should, that you maybe have some family member that despises God's word and will not come with you in here and makes fun of your faith, and it's a battleground every time you go home. Be strong in the Lord. And do not let that stop you from rejoicing in the Lord. You come and drink and be satisfied at the Lord's peace and His goodness, and you will be strengthened to go home to live a life of love. And by God's grace, you will be a living example of God's grace. And many hard-headed, hard-hearted unbelievers have finally crumbled because of the power of God's love from a husband or wife or kids in some cases who were there when their parents weren't and finally got through. So that when the day of evil comes, you can stand. In 1873, a lawyer named Horatio G. Spafford lost everything in the Great Chicago Fire. No schools left, nothing for his four daughters, Maggie, Tanette, Annie, Bessie. So Spafford took his wife and four daughters, went to New York, put them on a luxury cruise liner for Europe. Figured they'd go away until the schools were rebuilt in Chicago and his life came back together again. He put them on this luxury cruise liner, worried about the first cabin where they were assigned, moved them up closer to the bow of the ship, figured they'd be safer there, promised he would join them in Europe as soon as he could and watch the ship sail away. November 22nd, 1873. The luxury ship hit an iron ship and water poured in. They found Mrs. Spafford clinging to some floating debris, but it was 9 days before the lawyer Horatio got word in a telegram, no phones or emails at the time, two words: saved, alone. He boarded the next ship to go meet his wife, to mourn and grieve with her. And as they sailed along, the captain pulled him aside and said, "I think we're over the place where that ship went down with your daughters." Spafford went to his cabin, knelt at the cross in prayer, and said, "It is well. God's will be done." And later then wrote, "When peace like a river."